Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029. He can help find the life insurance you need. Oh, what a cold week.
Yeah. You know, just last week, we were talking about, you know, how that we'd had this mild weather in January and how nice it was, but my driveway was a swamp.
Yeah.
It's not a swamp anymore.
Now it's a frozen tundra.
It's a frozen tundra with piles of snow and snow drifts, and what a difference.
Yeah. By the way, crazy. This is Shane Van Hart. We've got Brian Myers next to me here, and we just love doing the show. This is great, when it's cold, when it's warm, it doesn't matter. We're here every week because we know, you know, our faithful listeners, you just depend on this program to hear the news and commentary that help prepare you for the weekend.
Oh, give it up, dude.
Well,
speaking of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, we have been on the air now for a year.
A year.
Can you believe it?
No, I can't.
Yeah, in celebration of said one-year anniversary, Ron and I are putting together a little anniversary show, which will be airing next week.
Great.
So we're looking forward to that.
I can't wait to be surprised.
Oh, you'll be surprised.
So, hopefully delightfully so. So, anyway, on the line we have a special guest. She's been on our program once before, Faith McDonald. She's with the Institute on Religion and Democracy, and she's their Religious Liberty Program Director. And she participated the other day in a protest outside the National Prayer Breakfast. And Faith, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. So, what were you protesting?
Well, hi, Shane and Brian. Thanks for having me on again. I was protesting, along with my Sudanese friends, the invitation and the presence of the foreign minister of the country of Sudan at the National Prayer Breakfast.
Okay. So what's wrong with that?
Well, this man is responsible currently for genocide going on in the Nuba Mountains of Sudan and Blue Nile State. In the Nuba Mountains, people are being bombarded with aerial bombardment on a regular basis. The government of Sudan has actually said in documents that their plan is to starve out the rest of the people of the Nuba Mountains, to starve them to death. He's also, if you go back to the 1990s, this man, his name is Ali Ahmed Karti, and he's the foreign minister of Sudan. He was the commander of the militia, an Arab militia called the Popular Defense Force, which raided villages, killed the men, and took women and children as slaves.
Wow. So who invited this guy? And for what purpose?
Well, that's a good question. He was not invited by the State Department. We actually pressed the State Department on that. Now, of course, they would have had to approve his visa, which they weren't going to talk about, but they did not invite him to the prayer breakfast. So they said it was actually the organizers, which would be the Fellowship Foundation, of the prayer breakfast. And I have a feeling that it's one of these things that happens where some people go to Sudan and they hand a Bible to a government minister or even to the president of Sudan, and being the slick con men that they are, they smile and are very charming and say, "Oh, thank you, we have so much in common," and people are totally snookered by it. And I think that's the case with this this warm feelings toward a man who's committing genocide. They think, you know, oh, we've touched his heart, and, you know, he's going to be so different. Whereas 2 million Christians in South Sudan couldn't touch his heart? Why does it take some American arrogant Christian to do that? So,
right.
I'm sorry.
I've got a question for you here, Faith, with respect to Ali Ahmed Karti. He's accused of the 2014 slaughter of a whole bunch of refugees from Darfur.
Yes.
And my question is, and I'm serious when I ask this, has George Clooney said anything about this? Because I know that's been a matter of passion with him for a lot of years, of, you know, what was going on in Darfur. So it would seem to me that he would have a real, real problem with this guy being there.
Yeah, I would think so. George Clooney has been very much outspoken and has really done a lot, actually, too, not only for the people in Darfur, but he's spoken out against the atrocities in the Nuba Mountains and actually gotten arrested at the Sudan Embassy on behalf of the people. But I have not heard anything that he's had to say about that. Now, I don't know, you know, even if the National Prayer Breakfast is on his radar screen, but
I would probably think not.
But. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, there's been so much made of this prayer breakfast yesterday, mm-hmm. though. I wonder if it's going to find its way onto his radar screen.
Well, maybe.
Soon.
Maybe, yeah.
I really would be curious to know what his thoughts are on this, because he really has been out there and, like you say, outspoken with respect to some of these issues in that area.
Yeah. I would love to hear him make a statement about that. It was, you know, the scene outside the hotel where we were demonstrating was chaotic. We had Tibetans who were welcoming the Dalai Lama and Tibetans who were against the Dalai Lama. So on one side of the street we had one and one side the other, and there were hundreds of them and drumming. So our little Sudan protest was quite small, mm-hmm. but I believe we were still powerful. And when you think back during the breakfast of the comments that the president made, particularly about slavery, and then you have a man who was responsible for slave raids in the 20th century sitting in the room.
Yeah.
It's surreal.
What happened there?
Man, I know the State Department would have a snit fit, but it's too bad. The only reason they should have let him into the States is to arrest him.
Exactly. Never mind coming to the prayer breakfast, just getting into the United States.
Yeah.
You know, even if you want to talk about foreign policy and try to do something that's going to help the people, you can do it in a neutral country somewhere.
Right.
Or go to Khartoum and do it. But, you know, if you feel like they have too much leverage, then meet him in Paris or something, you know, but not in the United States, not when we have terrorist sanctions against that country, and not when there are so many Sudanese and Southern Sudanese living in this country whose lives and families have been affected by this man and the government he represents.
Right. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Faith McDonald, who's the Religious Liberty Program Director with the Institute on Religion and Democracy. So have you heard anything from the Fellowship Foundation or the Prayer Breakfast organizers about this?
No, haven't heard anything from them, and I think that this is going to be an ongoing push to say, you know, there are too many of us who are upset by this, and they need to rethink the way they invite people who are criminally and terrorists responsible at the time. I have had pushback from some Christians, either related to the fellowship or not, who say, you know, oh, but we have to forgive. And yeah, we do. And I would, if Karti said, I'm so sorry for what I did, please forgive me, and I know that it was wrong, it was evil, I'd be the first one in line to forgive him. But you can't forgive somebody who's not repentant, who's
right.
doing what they're doing now. Plus, even when people are forgiven, there are still consequences.
I'm glad you said that.
Absolutely.
Because, that's not something that's like, oh, that's okay. You know, we forgive you. No, you were responsible for the genocide of who knows how many people. I mean, we don't really know for certain, but
Criminal behavior should always be punished, even if there is repentance.
Right, and somebody who's truly repentant would recognize that too.
Yeah,
that they need to face
right.
the consequences. So
yeah, I feel like writing a book on this subject because so many people seem to think that forgiveness means pretending that nothing ever happened.
Right, oh, right. That's forgetting. That's not forgiveness. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, we only slaughtered a few hundred people.
It's
no big deal, right?
Right.
You know, I think the power of forgiveness is when somebody says, yes, you did terrible, evil things, but because of Christ, I'm willing to forgive you. That's where the power is, not in denial and pretending, oh, well, you didn't really do anything wrong.
Right.
So.
Right.
Faith, how long did you folks at IRD know in advance that these gentlemen were going to be in attendance to the prayer breakfast?
About 2 days.
Seriously?
we didn't have any time, and I mean, this just smacked me in the face. And
wow.
As soon as I found out, you know, and I had
yeah to pick your jaw up off the floor, probably.
Yeah. I had Sudanese people telling me, and you know, for their sake, we had to do this. It hurts my heart so much to see, you know, the Sudanese feel like all these Christians are having this man to breakfast. It was just, you know, and even I have to say, people coming out of the breakfast afterwards and coming by us, you know, they should have responded more. I mean, if they're there as Christians and
right.
they, if they're going to be so reconciling to this perpetrator of genocide, then they ought to show some compassion and love for the,
right.
the people who were his victims,
well,
too.
I think one can argue that this national prayer breakfast has become so ecumenical, it's not even, I mean, where's the power in it? Any, you know?
Well, this one in particular, and we're
right.
going to talk more about this later on
right.
in the show, but this one in particular, Faye used the word surreal earlier. That describes what went on at this particular prayer breakfast.
Great. Shifting gears a little bit, well, just I wanted to point our listeners' attention to, you have an online petition. Right? It's mm-hmm. operationbrokensilence.org. I encourage our listeners to go and sign the petition and let the organizers of the prayer breakfast and the foundation Fellowship Foundation head Doug Coe know that, hey, we don't want mass murderers in attendance of these things. Hello! You know, this should be common sense, but unfortunately common sense is not very common anymore, especially when it comes to the Beltway. So, Faith, you with your religion, with the religious liberty program, what does that all entail? I mean, what does an average day look like for you with the Institute on Religion and Democracy?
Well, usually lots of bad news.
Oh, gosh. And how do you wake up every day then? No.
You know, the strange thing is I love my job. I've been here for 21 years. And,
wow.
And I love it. But it's still, yeah, it's usually awful news. You know, I mean, there was another attack by Boko Haram just the other day in Cameroon. And, you know, it just, I'll tell you one thing that helped me this past year was I went to a concert by Rend Collective.
Mm-hmm.
You know those guys?
Oh, yes, you do.
Uh-huh. On the Art of Celebration. And you just have to be able to celebrate what we have in Christ and, you know, put the bad stuff away for a little bit. In fact, I gave up going to a premiere with Reese Witherspoon for The Good Lie, the movie The Good Lie, which I was invited to because I've worked with the Lost Boys from Sudan. But I thought, I really need to praise Jesus and stomp around and, you
yes.
know, jump up and down with Rent Collective. So
right.
I did. And I think you have to keep that kind of perspective that God is in control no matter what. So this year, my religious liberty program is focused on encouraging people and recruiting people into more aggressive spiritual warfare against the evil that we're facing.
Great. And what are some ways that you're encouraging that?
Well, I've been writing some blog posts that are based on the book by Francis Frangipane called This Day We Fight, which was, I loved the title because it's, you know, the line of Aragorn in Lord of the Rings.
Right.
But it's so true that we have to face the evil that's against us and know that we have the tools and the power and the authority of Christ to do battle against this in the heavenlies. And I think, you know, we hear so much about not being, for instance, Islamophobes and not attacking people. And the truth is that we do have to start with the powers and principalities
right.
that are above those who are doing those things. So what I'm doing is writing like that and trying to find people all around the country who want to pray more aggressively, giving them ideas. We put out a prayer. It was actually a prayer that was written by an amazing pastor from Northern Ireland who died a few years ago, the Reverend Cecil Kerr, and it was a prayer against violence. And it gets very specific about things, you know, what it asks in prayer. And so that's on our website. And I'm going to be using that pattern also to, you know, usually I just give people the bad news
right.
that I get and say, you know, this is what happened. But instead, we're going to start suggesting this is what happened and please pray this way and giving people suggested prayers that deal with the root of the matter and ask God to confuse the enemy, to make the enemy fight with himself. You know, everything we can think of.
Yeah.
You know, always I like the repent or crush them one.
Amen.
Too.
Well, you can check that out at theird.org. Also, sign the petition at operationbrokensilence.org. Thank you, Faith, for coming on.
Thanks, Faith.
Thank you.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
That person brings out the worst in me. I never act like this with anyone else. Sound familiar? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Many want to know how some people know how to push their buttons. But the more helpful questions to answer are, who gave them access to their buttons? And what makes those buttons work? Too often, we fail to look at ourselves when someone provokes a response from us that we do not like. We are fixated on blaming them for being good at bringing out the bad in us. But where does that bad come from? The Bible says that it is our sinful desires that keep conflict going. Could it be that the button pusher might actually help you see what is really on the inside? If someone's pushing your buttons, why don't you take the time to stop by our counseling center here in Ames or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. That's crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. You've heard me talk about how Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management got my business insured when no one else could. But Tim also insured my home and my family's automobiles. And just the other day, Tim told me that he had a three-week stretch where he saved three different local families $1,000 per year or more on their insurance. And he said this is not an uncommon thing. So naturally, I said, sign me up for that. Tim Hibbing is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Oh, what a last segment we had with Faith McDonald. That was a great discussion.
It was indeed.
How we're allowing, you know, genocidal maniacs to come to the National Prayer Breakfast. Interesting. And to continue on, because
there
we always...
segue now and
yeah, there's no good segue for this. It's because we always bring you interesting topics. We in Iowa are having a gas tax debate. They started to talk about it a little bit last year, but there really wasn't much political will before an election to get this done. And now, because they're safely behind Election Day.
After the election
up. And they think the general populace will just forget about, you know, this. They're trying to push the gas tax. But we have a guy who's been fighting this, Drew Klein. He's been on our program before. He's the state director with Americans for Prosperity in Iowa. Welcome, Drew.
Thanks for having me today.
Hey, very welcome. So why don't we want a gas tax increase?
Well, I guess I'm, you know, pretty philosophically opposed to increasing taxes, you know, almost any time on anything. You know, I think we've sent more than enough money into the state government for them to be able to cover the, you know, the essential functions of government. And so this just becomes an issue of, you know, whether or not we're going to force state government to prioritize spending and take care of, you know, the needs of state government, or if we'll allow them to raise taxes so that they can also keep doing all of the wants of state government as well.
Right. Okay, so we have these roads and bridges. They're crumbling. To you know, we're tractors are like, you know, diving in the creeks and no,
I think there are some potholes in my
there. Probably some potholes.
Yeah, drowned in a river, evidently.
Yeah. My Subaru is going to fall into one of these potholes one of these days. I will say that.
Okay, true. So how do we fund, you know, bridges and roads if we? Because we obviously, Drew, I'm obviously playing the skeptic here.
Sure.
Is
that what you're doing?
Yeah, in case somebody's thinking I'm actually advocating for a gas tax increase. Why, you know, how can we actually pay for this? Because, you know, we only have so much money. I mean, really, the state budget, education, sucks up.
It's only $7 billion, you know.
Yeah, only $7 billion.
So much.
Yeah, yeah, we're strapped as a state, right?
Yeah, well, and let me start, you know, by saying we actually have a pretty decent system as far as funding our roads and bridges here in Iowa, and it's something that we should be proud of compared to a number of other states. We do have, in some way, shape, or form, very much a user pay system, in the sense that all of our vehicle registration fees, all of our fuel excise tax is being put into this constitutionally protected fund that can theoretically only be used for road and bridge, you know, maintenance, repair, construction, those types of things. And that's all well and good. In order to close the gap that the Department of Transportation says that we have, what Americans for Prosperity has been advocating is that we now start to augment the existing funding streams with dollars out of the general fund. And I think that makes a lot of sense. The reality is whether or not you drive a car, everybody in the state benefits from good infrastructure. We should find a way that everybody has some skin in the game. And we think the best way to do that is to use a portion of the general fund every year and to constitutionally protect it so that money can't be scooped and that our roads and bridges can't be underfunded in the future as well. The nice thing about doing something like that is not only do you find those additional dollars, but you also then find a way to index a portion of that road funding to economic growth in the state of Iowa as well. So as the general fund continues to grow as it has for the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, then that road funding is going to also grow, at least the portion out of the general fund, which means that we're going to be able to keep up with the increasing cost of labor and materials and all of those things, and potentially actually, you know, generate a system where we're not simply maintaining the level that our infrastructure is at, but improving it. And I think that's something that we should look forward to, because that's going to be another great tool for economic development in the state, is if we have, you know, great infrastructure, which then leads, you know, to a position where we can start to reform the tax code, cut taxes, and you know, continue to lower the burden on all taxpayers, rather than the discussion we seem to be having right now, where they want to just tax us more.
Well, Drew, I understand that you've called for a 3.5% diversion from the general fund to pay for the infrastructure repairs. And if I understand it correctly, that is not going to affect the money that we need to have for education and so on and so forth. So my first question would be, the 3.5% that you want to divert, where does the governor, for example, want to see that go now? In other words, where is that money supposed to go, according to the governor, that you were suggesting we siphon off from the general fund and put towards roads and bridges?
Well, I'll have to drag it, you know, the conversation a little bit into the weeds on some
that's
you know,
okay.
policy wonky stuff. But
we
you know,
love
there,
that.
There are a couple things. So it takes a while for that constitutional amendment to pass, so that we can get to a point where we're allocating that 3.5%. So we would essentially be giving the legislature, 3 to 4 years to carve that, carve that money out. I can tell you there are a couple areas that money is going to come from in big chunks. You know, the first one is that right now in Iowa we have kind of a 3-year program that is, you know, part of the governor's education reform, whether you like it or dislike it, and that calls for $50 million a year for this teacher leadership program that was part of that package. So those dollars are going to sunset. And so since that is a specific program within education, we don't believe that should necessarily just be dumped back into this education general fund stuff if it's for a specialized program.
Right.
So there's $50 million there.
Because 60% of our budget's just not enough for education, right?
Right. Right.
It's never enough.
There's another big piece. You know, we passed some significant, property tax reform, a few years ago. And right now, the state government is backfilling any lost revenue to local municipalities as well. That burden goes down significantly in 3 to 4 years as well.
Okay.
So there will be some additional room created in the general fund when that occurs as well. And then on top of that is the fact that our general fund has simply been growing at a pretty good clip, pretty consistently for a number of years as well. And so the other piece is just constraining the current growth of government for the next 3 or 4 years is going to create some space that we can find dollars there that we could allocate to roads and bridges as well.
Great. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Drew Klein, who's the state director for the Americans for Prosperity in Iowa. One thing I like about this plan is because one thing I hear from advocates of increasing the gas tax is like, you say you're against the gas tax, but you don't have a plan. But here, there's a plan. Yeah, you're offering something here, and I know Johnson County Republicans offered a plan as far as a resolution as well to address this. Is this plan falling on deaf ears? Are they actually listening, or they just seem to those who are pushing this gas tax seem to be just ignoring the other options?
Yeah, I guess I would have to distinguish between which ears we're talking about. I think there are, certainly the folks that have spent the last several years, trying to increase the gas taxes here in Iowa are not interested in the proposal, which is really too bad, because we think as far as a long-term solution, and the projections bear this out, that our plan actually does more for road and bridge funding than a 10-cent gas tax increase would do. And we know that, even just in economic principle, that a gas tax right now is a tax of diminishing return.
Right.
Vehicles are becoming more fuel efficient, and folks are driving less. We've got more hybrid and electric vehicles on the road. Our plan actually grows, revenue to the road use tax fund, whereas theirs we know is going to have a diminishing return.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of that. We have found a lot of support from everyday Iowans, and folks are weighing in on the issue. I certainly encourage your listeners to do that as well. We've made that easy. You just go to nogastaxiowa.com, and you can weigh in with your legislators that way. There are a lot of Iowans that are starting to support our plan for taking care of the issue as well. And there are a number of legislators as well. There's a resolution that would be a constitutional amendment that is very similar to ours right now.
Right.
And I believe it has 20 co-sponsors in the House.
Who's the one that actually offered? Who's the chief sponsor of that? We have to give him kudos.
Yeah, the author of that bill is Representative Walt Rogers from Cedar Falls, Iowa.
Okay. Great. Well, good job, Representative Walt Rogers.
Drew, one of the things that's making me crazy is that both at the federal level and the state level, I really believe that there's an inclination towards raising taxes on refined gasoline or carbon in general, certainly at the federal level, which has been precipitated by the low cost of oil.
Sure.
Just recently. In other words, if we were still looking at $3.50 gasoline, I think that it'd be a far less palatable thing for Republicans in the Iowa legislature to be talking about a gas tax.
Well, are you telling me you're not convinced that gas is going to stay this cheap?
No, I think I'm going to be riding my bicycle a lot soon. Yeah,
but yeah, I think you're spot on. I think folks are certainly trying to take advantage of cheap gas prices. But let's be clear: cheap gas prices have resulted in a great deal of relief to Iowa families.
Right.
I don't know why it's the government's role or responsibility or privilege to go back in and scoop the savings that Iowa families are starting to realize with some cheaper energy prices. And that's not just Iowa families. I mean, that's the economy as well. The energy costs are a constant that is factored into the price of our goods and services. And so when we start to make those things more expensive, through bad policy, that also is a cost that's going to be borne by families as well.
Great. So we were talking, you mentioned earlier about kind of restraining the growth of government, which that's going to be a big lofty.
You mean something like that can actually be done?
It's amazing. I'm sure of it somehow, some way. What are some ways you think, moving on in the future, we got like 3 minutes left, we can work toward, kind of slowing the growth? Because it seems like, even though we have a governor who claims to be fiscally responsible, we can't deny the fact that the budget has grown significantly under his leadership. How can we kind of, slow that growth?
Yeah, I think there are a number of ways that we can do that. Some of it is there's a proposal in the House right now. It's actually House File 2 that would implement zero-based budgeting in Iowa as a budgeting principle.
So basically, you got to do what every family does.
Legislature every year to justify that they need more, they would have to come back in and justify what they got last year and why they want additional funding on top of that. That would be a great way to just reform the budgeting practice overall. And I think we would find a lot of cost savings in there. We have programs that maybe were applicable 10 years ago that are no longer applicable, but we're still funding them because we use baseline budgeting instead of zero-based budgeting.
And that would make a lot of common sense. Okay.
That's being done at the state level, too? I did not realize that. There's baseline budgeting at the state level?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people overlook that because we have, states are required to balance their budgets, so they don't really think a whole lot about it.
But, I did not realize that. That's a disaster.
Absolutely. So anything else we could do?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that there are some things that we could do to reform, even some of our health and human services programs. That's going to be an increasing cost under the new health care law. I think that there are a number of innovations that we see around the country that could potentially improve costs there. I think one of the simplest ones is tort reform. If we would pass some tort reform in Iowa and help bring some legal predictability and stability even to just the healthcare system, it would have benefits throughout the economy. But even in healthcare, that would help drive down the costs of healthcare. Much of which is would also be beneficial for the part that the state is absorbing through Medicaid as well.
Right. Okay. If we had another segment, I'd love to bring up like mental health, because one thing the governor's done is shut down a couple of mental health facilities, which I have some experience and background in that area, and I'm afraid all that's going to do is cost shift to the Department of Corrections.
What type of background do you have?
Yeah, we'll let the listeners decide what kind of background I have there. So,
Drew, thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. Hey, again, no gas tax. I will let your legislators know we do not need a gas tax increase.
Great. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision.
ultimately was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give Scott a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. And we are...
If you run into Scott, tell him you heard us talk about him on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Scott's a great guy, by the way.
We appreciate that. Definitely.
Okay, we're into our news rundown segment here. We're starting off with the little bit of a hullabaloo that was created by Jim Clifton, who's the CEO of Gallup. The organization that's deeply known around the United States as a trusted pollster, but he really let the administration and Wall Street and the media have it on the unemployment figure, which is routinely released. He talks about how the number is cheerleaded, how unemployment is down to 5.6%. And he says the cheerleading for this number is deafening.
Well, I love the headline in his piece. Go to Gallup.com if you haven't read it. It's called The Big Lie. Tell us how you really feel, Jim.
Yeah. Well, he's taking some heat, as you can well imagine, from the left over this.
Oh, I'm sure.
But here's the bottom line. The Labor Department does not count you as unemployed if you're so hopelessly out of work that you've stopped looking over the last month.
Right.
Right now, as many as 30 million Americans are either out of work or severely underemployed.
Right. It doesn't count. Yeah. The unemployment rate is affected if you just take a part-time job, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you perform a minimum of 1 hour a week and are paid at least $20, you're not officially counted as unemployed. I mean, the number really looks good, 5.6%. Given where we were a few years ago, this looks outstanding. But the fact of the matter is, it's so skewed. It's putting lipstick on a pig. It really is. I don't know what the real number is, but it's well into double digits, I'm confident.
Right.
And he points out the fact that few Americans know all this. And this kind of reminds me of the cuts in federal spending. I always talk about cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And all cuts are reductions in the rate of growth.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of thing. Few Americans know about this. But anyway.
Crazy.
Next item. Jordan responds to ISIS's brutal execution of one of their prisoners. Burned that guy up in the cage.
Because it's absolutely indescribable. Because beheading is so, it's just incredible that they would do that. But Jordan,
they've executed two prisoners.
We could learn probably
immediately.
I would say we could learn a lesson from Jordan, but I'm not sure necessarily I want United States to become this. I remember we had a guest post on Caffeinated Thoughts who talked about how terrorists could be summarily executed. Thank you, getting it out. I don't think I want us to go there as a country. For one thing, as a former member of the military, I understand you don't want to do that because these folks could actually be, you can get intelligence out of them anyway. So that'd be kind of a waste, actually.
Well, in any case, Jordan vowed a swift and lethal response,
and they did it.
And they've promised that there's going to be military action in the extreme as well, not just merely the execution of these two prisoners. But it's interesting, they had actually agreed last week to release Al-Rashawi, the female prisoner, but they first wanted proof of life of this pilot. And then, of course, ISIS executed the pilot, and the rest is history. But yeah, this is really interesting, because now we've got a lot of Jordanians that are actually behind the military effort to stop ISIS.
Yeah.
And I think it was not necessarily a popular thing prior to all this, but when these guys did this to their national hero, it kind of turned the corner.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Brian Williams has apparently gotten himself in a real fix. Brian Williams, the anchor, of course, of NBC News, he had apparently told this whopper, 12, 13 years ago, and it's my understanding that the whopper grew over time. He said that the chopper he was in, took RPG fire, and then apologized on national television, I think on Wednesday evening, and said, well, I had that wrong. It was the chopper ahead of me. Well, it turns out that was a lie as well. He wasn't, at least according to the story, he was nowhere near the choppers that actually took the RPG fire.
Right.
So the apology turned out to do nothing more than dig
make
the hole deeper.
Dug
the hole deeper. And so now we've got Tom Brokaw, who apparently knew about this thing going back for several years. He's calling for Williams's firing. And I don't know if this guy's going to survive this or not. I watched the news last night just to see if it would come up. It did not. The evening news went through just like it always did. And now this morning we're seeing that Williams may be in some trouble. I don't know if he's going to make it through this.
No, I'd be shocked if he does. And actually, I just saw USA Today article that says now his Katrina coverage is coming into question. So, and this goes to principle: when you catch a journalist who's supposed to tell the truth in a lie, it's what else can you believe? Really?
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible that a guy of this stature would tell a couple of lies like this, and I guess assume that nobody was going to catch him. Incredible.
That's pretty arrogant to think.
Perhaps our biggest news item, this prayer breakfast that we spoke about in first segment with Faye of IRD.
Faith of
IRD. This prayer breakfast was apparently just a three-ring circus, because you've got on the one hand, this protest going on about the folks from the fight down in Darfur and Sudan. You've also got some protesting there because the Dalai Lama was there, who Obama offered a special welcome to his quote-unquote good friend. In addition to that, this was striking, Daryl Waltrip was there. He gave the keynote address and talked about how he had accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior after a 1993 crash.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, quote, "If you've never gotten on your knees and asked him to forgive you of your sins, you're just a pretty good guy or a pretty good gal. You're going to hell," unquote. Wow.
Yep. Well, as they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right?
And in the middle of all this, then we've got our beloved president saying something stunningly ridiculous. He said, quote, "Unless we get on our high horse and think that this is unique to some other place," speaking, of course, of the violence that we've seen, "remember that during the Crusades and Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ," he said. And then he goes on to say, "In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ." Absolutely stunning. Why would he say this? With everything that's going on in the world right now with Islamic terrorism, and
right,
he says this, he's got to bring up the Crusades?
Yeah, you've got to go back, how many years? Just almost Oh, wow.
Well, the Crusades were talking the better part of a millennium.
Yeah, you know? I was going to say 12th century, 13th century.
I have not seen it yet, but apparently Joe Scarborough could not even contain himself on Morning Joe this morning. He referred to this as stupid left-wing moral equivalency.
Right.
And he's absolutely right.
Right.
Charles Krauthammer was also incredulous.
And here's the thing. Christians don't defend what happened to Crusades.
No.
And frankly, if you're an honest student of history, what happened to the Crusades had nothing to do with faith in Christ. It had everything to do with political power.
Well, you know, whatever spin you want to put on the Crusades, it was a long time ago. We've got a big problem now with Islamic terrorism. Yes. Admit it, Mr. President.
Right. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
That person brings out the worst in me. I never act like this with anyone else. Sound familiar? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Many want to know how some people know how to push their buttons. But the more helpful questions to answer are, who gave them access to their buttons? And what makes those buttons work? Too often, we fail to look at ourselves when someone provokes a response from us that we do not like. We are fixated on blaming them for being good at bringing out the bad in us. But where does that bad come from? The Bible says that it is our sinful desires that keep conflict going. Could it be that the button pusher might actually help you see what is really on the inside? If someone's pushing your buttons, why don't you take the time to stop by our counseling center here in Ames or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. That's crosswalkcounseling.org.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
All right, we had one item left over from the news rundown that we need to hit real quick.
Right.
And that is what apparently is going to be confirmed. And that is Bruce Jenner's transformation from a man to a woman. There have been some rumors about it in the tabloids going back for quite a while now. He divorced Kris Jenner last year. And apparently Diane Sawyer of ABC News is going to be having an interview with Bruce Jenner in May and talk about all this. And I don't want to talk about it a whole heck of a lot. I just want to say this. You know, Bruce Jenner is I don't know, a couple years older than me, and I remember in 1976 when he won the gold medal at the Olympics, And this guy, I mean, this guy was the epitome of the all-around American boy, you know, decathlon gold medalist, great kid from Graceland College in Lamoni, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He was on the front of a Wheaties box.
Right.
And to see his life end this way, it is just, for me anyway, this is an indescribable tragedy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say much more than that, but anyway. Okay.
And that could have actually been the news that you can't make this stuff up, but yeah. We do have another story.
Yeah. Yes, now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable, yet you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
All right, this is from a NBC affiliate in New York. A New York man who rented a bulldozer from a local construction company demolished the house that he and his wife lived in. Now, his wife is on the deed. Apparently, he isn't. But his wife was. She didn't know about it. He said he did it because it was dilapidated and it needed to come down. So apparently he tried to get a permit to demolish it himself, but he couldn't because the office was closed due to the federal holiday. So he went ahead and did it anyway. He says, so I took it down. That's it. So this guy was arrested in the process of demolishing his home, and police said he was knocking the single-family house to the ground with an excavator and tossing the debris in dumpsters when they arrived. And the guy said, well, I tried to call my wife before I started the demolition, but she didn't answer the phone. He says, all the stuff in the house was replaceable anyway. So apparently she shows up. She's in the middle of the road screaming, my house, my house, what happened to my house? Okay, this is where it really gets good. He admits to NBC Channel 4 that his wife was distraught initially, but now she's over it. We're good. I'm a good husband. What can I tell you?
I don't even know what to say to this. What a moron.
Well, I tried to call her. She didn't answer her phone.
Talk about, like, the most impatient man ever. Which, that's saying something. There's a lot, a whole host of impatient men, but you can't even wait a day.
Oh, this is beautiful, too. He's like, well, I tried to get a permit, but the office was closed, so I took it down. Why didn't you tell your wife? Well, I tried to, but she didn't answer your phone.
Yeah. Patience is a virtue.
Yeah, then he says, she's over it. We're good. I'm a good husband. What can I tell
husband.
You?
Oh, I got a joke for that, but I'll have to wait because we don't have that much time. But
all right, our quote of the day is from John Piper. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.